to start a series with you that I'm going to be doing every opportunity that I have to preach on Wednesday night, called Remarkable Encounters with Jesus. And tonight, our first one is going to be Finding True Satisfaction. Finding True Satisfaction. And in the Gospels, we find several conversations and encounters that Jesus had with several individuals in his ministry here on earth. And it's very interesting to study them, because as you study the conversations that Jesus had with different individuals in the Bible, and tonight we're going to look at the conversation that he had with a Samaritan woman, you're going to find that he addressed real life issues in these conversations, and that he gave them answers to many of their needs or many of their dilemmas that they were going through at the time. And by studying those conversations, we find that in those conversations that he had with different Bible characters in the Bible, he's also going to give us answers to many questions, to many needs, to many issues that we face in our life. And I believe one of the biggest quests of the human being is to find satisfaction and contentment in life. And that's the question that we're going to look at tonight. Because in Jesus' meeting with the Samaritan woman at the well, this meeting reveals sad truth about ourselves and wonderful truth about Jesus. And the wonderful truth that it reveals about Jesus gives us hope in the midst of sad situations that we might be facing today. Now, the reason that the Bible exposes bad news about ourselves is not to beat us down or make us feel condemned, but it is to make us aware of our need of Jesus. And that's what this story is mainly about. It's not about us, but it's about him. Now, the main truth that I want us to focus on, the story of the Samaritan woman, we find it in John chapter 4 in verse 3, if you want to turn there with me. And it says there that he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. And this tells us that Jesus is determined to find a way to meet us, to save us, and to help us of whatever situation we are facing in life. Now, in the Greek, it says that it was required for him to go through Samaria. In other words, he had to go through Samaria because he had a divine appointment with a woman by a well. And in the same way, Jesus had to go through your life tonight. Jesus had to bring you here tonight because he has an appointment with you tonight. And this appointment is going to lead us to salvation. It's going to lead us to wisdom. It's going to lead us to victory. And we see that that was the case in the life of this woman. It led her to her salvation, but not only her salvation, the salvation of an entire group of people from a Samaritan village. He had to go that way. Jesus is graciously purposeful. And his purpose are always for the good of those who trust him and surrender their lives to him. And this woman was in a very dark and in a very hopeless place in her life. She felt unloved, she felt shame, and she was living life with no purpose. But this is the kind of places and this is the kind of people that Jesus is looking for to manifest himself to them. He does not hesitate to go to the darkest places in life to find you, to speak to you, and to rescue you. Jesus goes to wherever you are in life to give you attention and to satisfy the deepest needs of your soul. Now, the first thing that we see about this encounter is that Jesus comes to find us to give us attention. Now, look in verse 5 and 7. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. And let's see how it is Jesus who takes the initiative to initiate the conversation. He says that he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. And now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." Now, Samaritans were pretty much despised by the Jewish people at the time because they were a corrupted form of Jewish race. The Jewish people were intermarried with the pagan nations at the time, and so they were called or considered hybrid people. They have forsaken Judaism, and they committed to the most heinous crimes that a Jew could ever commit, and that was to mingle with the Gentiles. This woman is an outcast, and she is an immoral woman. She has been married several times and is now living in an adulterous relationship with a man. Yet, this is the woman that Jesus got out of his way. Jesus left his busy agenda for some time. He left his routine and his plans in order to meet this woman. And this tells us that Jesus goes to wherever you are in life because he loves you. Wherever you are, he goes to the darkest places to meet you, to find you, and to save you. I am a witness of that. I was not saved in a church. The first night that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was in a disco. I was with some friends, and I was having some drinks, and there was a woman there that had just received Jesus Christ. I know that she wasn't supposed to be there, but I thank God that she was. And that night, she began to share the gospel of salvation with me. And that night, in a disco, in a very dark place, she preached to me the plan of salvation, and she asked me if I wanted to receive Jesus into my heart. And not really understanding what I was doing, I said yes. So I am a living witness that Jesus will go out of his way, and he will go to the most unusual and the darkest places in life to save you, to love you, and to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Can we thank him for that? Yes. Jesus intentionally reaches across every barrier that people can put up between themselves. Look at it in verses 8 through 9. He says, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Because for the Jews, they have no dealings with the Samaritan. You see, the Jews consider the Samaritan to be racially inferior. And this is the reason why the woman is surprised that a Jew is talking to her. In addition to that, she is even more surprised that a Jewish man is able to speak to her, because at the time there was a belief and there was a religious tradition that says that a man was not to speak to a strange woman in public. So this is very unusual, what Jesus is doing. And not only that, it says there that she came to draw water by the sixth hour. That was a very unusual time as well, because she came to draw water at noontime. This is not the time where most women came to draw water. They came early in the day when it wasn't hot, so that they would have water for the household for the entire day. So why was she alone, and what is she doing drawing water in the hottest hour of the day? I don't know if you have noticed here in South Florida during summertime, especially the month of August, noontime, the hour between noontime and 100 is over 100 degrees. So she came at noontime because really nobody else was there to meet her or to talk to her. And what does this tell us? That this woman is considered a complete outsider. Even within her own community and within her own people, she is rejected. Nobody wants her. Everybody criticizes her. Everybody judges her. Everybody is putting their finger at her. But Jesus, on the other hand, wants her. He wants to have a conversation with her. He wants to meet her at this place. And what a sad life and what a sad place in life this woman was. She lived in complete and total isolation. Her family rejected her. Her people rejected her. And all she had was her loneliness and an adulterous relationship to look for. And Jesus comes and he gets out of the way to give her attention, to speak to her. And she talks to her in the most loving and caring way. And there were so many barriers at the time, in the same way that we have so many barriers today that divide us. We have racial barriers. We have gender barriers. We have language barriers. And friends, something that the Bible clearly teaches us is that God is a God that does not allow barriers in the heart of his people. Because barriers will hinder you from receiving everything that God has for you. You see, it was a religious barrier. It was a racial barrier that separated this woman from God. She had not been able to receive the gospel. She had not been able to receive the truth of God because there were people that were rejecting her. Even the very ones that were supposed to preach to her the word had rejected her because of her immoral lifestyle, because of her gender, because of nationality. But here Jesus came to tear down barriers. He came to save people from every tongue, from every nation, and from every tribe. And in this case, we clearly see that Jesus is the God that crosses racial barriers. He crosses cultural barriers and gender barriers and even moral barriers in order to save a soul that was lost. In Acts chapter 3, verse 34, Peter said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." Folks, the only thing that separates you from God is sin. Let me repeat that again. The only thing that separates a human being from God is sin. There is nothing else that can separate a human being from the love of God. Not race, not gender, not your language, and not your nationality. The only thing that separates a person from God is sin. Nothing else does. And the gospel is for everyone. Everyone, no matter what their ethnic group is, no matter what their place in life is, no matter what their mistakes are, no matter if you are sitting in the darkest place in life, there is a place for you in the kingdom of God. Regardless of where you come from, regardless of your language, and regardless of what mistake you have done in your life. So here we see that Jesus goes out of his way to give us attention. That's something that we so desperately need, especially this generation. We are living in a time and in a place where most of our generation, especially the youth, they have absolutely no attention from their parents. No attention, not even from teachers. No attention, because everyone is so busy with computers and social media nowadays. But we serve a Jesus that will go out of his way to give you his undivided attention. Why? Because he loves you and he cares for you. Number two, we also see that Jesus gives complete soul satisfaction. Jesus gives complete soul satisfaction. What Jesus has to offer satisfies from the inside. In John chapter 4 verse 10, look at what it says. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Now, almost everywhere in the United States, we have access to drinking water. For the most part, nobody dies in this nation because of thirst. But there are many, many countries in the world, especially third world countries, where people die because of lack of living, running water. But most of us know, so therefore in this nation, most of us know very little about what it's like to have real thirst. But our human bodies are mostly made up of water. Our bodies contain so much water that to be real thirsty is to be in agony. I don't know if you have ever found yourself in a place where you're busy or you are away from home and you are in a place and there is no drinking water and you are dying of thirst. And you cannot wait to get home or to get to a place where you can drink a sip of water. Because why? The human body needs water to live. The human body cannot survive without drinking water. And to be in real thirst is to be in agony. So what Jesus is saying to this woman is, I have something for you that your spirit needs as much as your body needs water to survive. Something without which you are living in agony. You are trying to find something or someone that will satisfy the thirst of your soul. But what I have is the only water that can satisfy the thirst that you're feeling in your soul. Now, Jesus is not telling us here that what he has to offer is just a ticket to heaven. There are so many people that want to serve God because they are afraid of going to hell. And they surrender and they do the sinner's prayer simply because they want to be sure that they have a ticket to heaven. And yes, salvation includes access to heaven. But here Jesus is teaching us that salvation is not only a ticket to heaven, but salvation also is something that satisfies us now and satisfies us from the inside out. Jesus says in verse 14, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. If I were to ask you tonight, what makes you really, really, really happy? What would you say? What would you say? If somebody were to ask you, tell me what makes you really, really happy, what brings a lot of joy and happiness to your life, what would you say? Some of us would say, we don't know. That's true. But most likely, can I suggest to you that most likely your answer will be something that is outside of you? Most likely, some of us might say, well, romantic love makes me really, really happy. Some of us might say, career makes me really, really happy. Money makes me happy. Family makes me happy. Serving in ministry makes me happy. And although there is absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to have these things, there is nothing wrong with wanting to have romantic love in our lives as long as within the guidelines of God. There is nothing wrong with wanting to have a career, with wanting to prosper and have more money. There is nothing wrong with those things. But here Jesus is teaching us something. And it's this. There is nothing outside of you that can truly satisfy the thirst that is deep within your soul. Can we receive that tonight? There is nothing. Even the best marriage, even the best career, even the best, more prosperous ministry in the world. There is a principle here that Jesus is teaching us, and it's this. There is nothing outside of you that can truly satisfy the thirst that is deep down within your soul. What Jesus is saying, friends, is this. I can give you complete satisfaction in your inner being, regardless to what happens outside and regardless of your circumstances. Let me tell you, everything in this life is temporary. I didn't hear no amen on that. Let me say it again. Everything in this life is temporary. I don't mean to sound negative, but I'm going to teach you reality. You can have the best marriage in the world. You can have the best husband, the best wife in the world today, that they can be gone tomorrow. I don't mean to sound negative, but there's a principle that we need to learn. You can have a bank account with millions of dollars, and that money can be taken from you in a matter of 5 minutes. You can have the best children. You can have the most awesome family tonight. You can have a house full of kids, full of people, that when you least expect it, you can find yourself with an empty house. I don't mean to sound negative, folks, but this is reality. This is reality. Everything in this life, good or bad, is temporary. Everything around you is changing. You yourself are changing. I'm just going to give you a suggestion. I was cleaning my closet last night, and I was looking at pictures. I love to take pictures. And I was looking at some pictures that were taken 5 years ago. And I was looking at the people, and I was looking at myself, and I was amazed at the amount of change that we have gone through in 5 years. Oh, yeah. Even we ourselves are changing every moment and every instant in our life. So what does that tell us? That if we are depending on things outside of us, we are going to be a miserable people. We are going to be a people that is never going to find content and satisfaction. We are going to be a people that is living in agony because we're going to have a thirst within our souls that none of those things can ever satisfy. So most of us are not able to recognize our soul thirst for what it really is. Now, I want to suggest something to you tonight. Most of us think that the reason that we don't feel fulfilled, that the reason that we are not content, is because we haven't been able to achieve our goals. You talk to people and they tell you, well, I'm not feeling happy with my life yet. I know that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. But next year, I'm going to finish my degree. Next year, I'm going to open my business. Next year, God is going to send me a spouse. Next year, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And when I do that, I know, Pastor Anna, that I'm going to be so happy. So most of us think that the reason that we are not fulfilled, that the reason that we are not content, is because we haven't able to achieve our goals. Oh, when I finish my degree, I'm going to be so happy. Oh, when I open my own business, I'm going to be so happy. I was talking to my neighbor across from me, and she literally said those words to me this morning. I want to buy a bigger house in 3 years. And I know that when I buy the house, me and my children are going to be so happy. And I looked at her and I said, believe me, you're not. When you buy that house, you're going to want a bigger house. And once you get the bigger house, then you're going to want a building. And when you want the building, then you're going to want a mansion. Because none of those things can quench the deeper soul of your, the deeper thirst of your soul. And we can live our entire life without realizing the depth of our spiritual thirst. The few people in life that do reach their goals and dreams are shocked to discover that these long for accomplishments do not satisfy. If you would speak to any millionaire, if you would speak to any of those famous artists that we see on TV, I guarantee you one thing without exception. They will tell you without no doubt that despite of the money, despite of the success, despite of the popularity, despite of all the cars and all the mansions that they have, they still are empty. They still are feeling a loneliness in their soul that they cannot even understand. In fact, they would even tell you that the more they have, the more empty they feel. I was reading an interview once with a famous actress, Sophia Loren. Most of us know who she is, right? And Sophia Loren had an interview in which she said that she had everything. She had awards. She had beauty. She had marriage. She had money. She had popularity. And then she says this: in my life, there is an emptiness that is impossible to fulfill. See, the woman at the well said, sir, give me this water. And Jesus said to her in verse 16, go, call your husband and come here. And she replies, I don't have a husband. No, you are right, he says. You have 5 husbands. Now, you know what I said. Those of you that heard me preach or teach, I say this. If you try marriage after the second time, you have my soul admiration. You deserve an award. You have had 5 husbands. This woman deserves an award. And the man that you are living with right now is not your husband. Now, my question is, why is Jesus changing the subject all of a sudden? Because he went from seeking living water to her issue with men. And the answer is very simply, because the subjects are related. He is saying to her, woman, if you want to understand the nature of the living water that I offer, you have to realize how you have been looking for it in your life. You have been trying to get the water through men. You have been trying to get the water through women. And it's not working. It's not working. My question to you tonight is, how have you been trying to get the water? How have you been trying to get the water? Have you been trying to get the water from a man? Have you been trying to get the water from a woman? Have you been trying to get the water from a degree, from a career? Have you been trying to get the money from relationships? Have you been trying to get the money from your looks? How have you been trying to get the water? Because there is a principle that Jesus is teaching us here, and it's this. Anything that you worship other than Jesus will ill you alive. Let me repeat that again. Anything or anyone that you worship other than Jesus will eat you alive. If you worship money and if you worship things, enough will never be enough. A brand new Honda is not going to be enough. Next time you're going to want a Camaro. And a Camaro is not going to be enough. Next time you're going to want a Porsche. And once you have the Porsche, I don't know, you're probably going to go to jail because you're going to be in so much debt that you're not going to be able to pay. If you worship your body, oh man, you're in for a big disappointment. I'm going to save you some money tonight. You can spend a fortune in plastic surgery, and you can spend a fortune in Botox and all everything else that they're coming up with. That at the end of the day, everything is going to fall the same way. Even worse when you put all that plastic stuff on you. So if you worship your body and your looks, you are in for a big disappointment because you're going to feel ugly all the time. You're never going to be satisfied. If you worship your intellect, you will end up feeling dumb. Enough is never going to be enough. I know a lady that has 3 PhDs, and now she's working in her fourth. And you ask her, why do you have so many? And she's in tremendous amount of debt. She don't come to this church, so don't try to figure out who she is, because she don't come to church here. She is in tremendous amount of debt. And if you ask her, why are you doing so many PhDs? The answer, you never get it. She don't even know why she's having so many PhDs. But I know why. She's trying to worship her intellect. And her intellect is eating her alive and getting her in debt. Now, if you worship people, if you worship relationships, they will fail you. They will fail you. And the principle is this, friends. Get this in your spirit. Unless Jesus is the center of your life, and unless you see that the solution to your life must come from the inside of you rather than from the outside, then whatever you worship will fail you at the end. The solution to your problem must come from the inside of you. It's not on the outside. Responding to a question from the Pharisees about when the kingdom of God will come, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 17, verse 20. He says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God, he says, is within you. See, we try to find our fulfillment in people. We try to find our fulfillment in things. But if we want to change our life, if we want to get to a place where we find peace, joy, and contentment, we must let the kingdom of God to rule in the inside of us. We must allow the light of the kingdom to light the darkness inside of us. The kingdom must rule your thinking. The kingdom must rule your mind. The kingdom must rule your heart. The fruit of the spirit must rule your heart. The word of God must be enthroned in your mind and in your heart. Because then and only then, the light of that kingdom will shine to the outside in all areas of you. When you have peace, no matter what people do to you, it will not move you. It will not break you down. When you have the love of God inside your heart, no matter what people do to you, if they mistreat you, if they abuse you, if they neglect you, you are going to be able to forgive. Oh, what a freedom it is to walk in a way that the kingdom of God is ruling our mind and our hearts. Because then and only then, we are going to find true contentment, true satisfaction in life. Friend, you take with you whatever you have inside of you. Don't expect your relationships to work when the kingdom of God is not ruling the inside of you. Don't expect anything. Don't expect your job. Don't expect to be your business to work when the kingdom of God is not ruling the inside of you. When bitterness, when lack of forgiveness, when fear, when anxiety, when emotional brokenness is ruling the inside of us, nothing and no relationship, friends, will work. If we want to change our lives, if we want to change our relationships, the change must first take place in the inside of us. Because whatever we are and whatever we have on the inside will come out on the outside. If the light of Christ is in the inside, the light of Christ will eventually manifest in every relationship of your life. If the peace of Christ, if the freedom of Christ, if the power of God is the inside of you, that power, that grace, that freedom will eventually manifest in every area of your life and will change your relationships. Number two, Jesus gives opportunity. Jesus gives opportunity. Everybody deserves an opportunity to succeed in life. Everyone. Now, you might not succeed in what I am called to succeed. You might not succeed in what the person next to you is called to succeed. Right before service, Joyce was sharing with me, and she works in the education system, how one of the main problems with students nowadays is that they want to go into a career that they are not called to study. For instance, not everyone is called to be a doctor. To be a doctor, you got to be very, very smart. And you got to have a grade point average of 4.0. You know how hard that is? Very few individuals are called to be a doctor. But many students go into college and university wanting to be a doctor, and all they find is failure. And all they find is a debt. Because not everyone is called to succeed in a career of medicine, but others are. But the point is, in whatever place or whatever thing God has called you to do, God wants you to succeed. He might have called you to be a cashier at Publix. He wants you to succeed and shine for Jesus there. But every one of us deserves an opportunity to succeed. And so many people have not succeeded in life. Watch this. Not because they lack talent, not because they lack ability, but many people have not succeeded in life simply because no one has given them an opportunity. I remember when I was working in the secular world, so many opportunities were denied to me simply because I was a woman. Studies show that women do not earn the same money or the same pay that men earn. You can be doing the same job, and studies show that women tend to make less than men. Because we're living in a world where there are still barriers and prejudices. But in the kingdom of God, we find justice. In the kingdom of heaven, we always find an opportunity in Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of opportunity. And he gives everyone a chance in life, no matter what his or her background or status is. In verse 6, he says to the woman, Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. Now imagine here, it's noontime. Remember we said that earlier. It's noontime, the sun is at its peak, and he has walked over 20 miles to get to her. He is weary, it says there. It means that he's to the point of sweat and exhaustion. In other words, Jesus is exhausted. And he sits down by the edge of the well, and he is thirsty, and he asks the woman, "Women, please give me a drink of water." And in here we can see the humanity of Jesus. Because one of the mysteries about Jesus is that Jesus is all God, but Jesus is all human at the same time. Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 says that he emptied himself, having taken the form of a servant, having been made in the likeness of man. Jesus walked in our flesh, and he understands how many times we are tempted.
He understands our physical needs. He knows what it's like to be exhausted. He knows what it's like to be thirsty. He knows what it's like to be hungry. Why? Because being all God, he also walked among us like any other human being. And because he was thirsty, this outcast woman that nobody wanted, that nobody wanted to relate to her, that nobody paid attention to her, gets the opportunity to give water to the Savior of the world. Can you imagine what a wonderful opportunity that is? By this, her life was changed, and she now has a purpose. You see, people bloom when they are given the opportunity. When you give someone the opportunity to do something challenging, you will be amazed what they can show. You will be amazed what they can do. So Jesus came into this world to open opportunities for every one of us. See, I always loved music. As a matter of fact, when I was going to college, I told my father that I wanted to go to music school. And I couldn't because he says music is not a career. You will never earn a living in music. Well, I pay all my bills nowadays because of worship music. But many times, the world and even people, sometimes even loved ones, denies us of opportunities. But Jesus came into this world to open opportunities for everyone. And here we see that Jesus asked the outcast woman, give me water, woman. But instead, I'm going to give you living water. You see, when Jesus asks you to do something for him, with it comes an opportunity. With it comes the chance to fulfill your deepest dreams. God is the God of opportunities. It's the God that gives every one of us an opportunity to succeed in whatever he has called us to do in life. And when we might not serve Jesus all in the same way. This Samaritan woman is serving Jesus here by giving him water. He asked her to give him water. But he might ask you to do something different. He might ask you to preach. He might ask you to be a deacon. He might ask you to be an usher. He might ask you to open a business. He might ask you to be a bank teller. I don't know. Jesus has something different for every one of us in life. But in Jesus, you will always find an opportunity to succeed. Jesus is giving us an opportunity to serve him today in whatever it is that he's calling us to do. And it is in serving Jesus, in giving Jesus water, that you're going to find purpose, satisfaction, and contentment to your inner soul. Let's bow our heads as we pray. I want to talk to those that just like this Samaritan woman, we have been trying to drink water from so many places. We have been trying to satisfy our soul thirst in relationships. Women that are trying to satisfy the thirst in men. Men that are trying to satisfy the inner thirst of their soul in women. Others are trying to satisfy their thirst in money, in career, in businesses, with family, with children. But at the end of the day, if we are honest, once we get all those things, we find that truly nothing on the outside can quench the thirst that we feel inside. Because only Jesus, only the water that he gives us can truly satisfy the thirst, the loneliness, the needs that we find that we have inside. I'm going to ask us to search our hearts right now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anyone. Or I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable. But I'm going to ask us to search our hearts tonight. And I'm going to ask you that question. Where have you been trying to get that water? Where? Or from whom? Marriage, money, career, even ministry. Relationships, from your looks, or maybe you have been trusting your talents and your abilities, trying to get water from that fountain, but you find yourself empty. You might be surrounded with a lot of people, but you find yourself so many times feeling so lonely.
that you cannot even explain why. But Jesus, I believe, is showing us why. Because only Him and Him alone can satisfy the deepest needs of our souls. Anytime that we try to look for answers from anything outside of us, we are going to find ourselves being disappointed. Nothing on the outside of us can bring us joy, happiness, and contentment. But the answer is inside of us. It's the kingdom of God ruling the inside of you. It's the word of God ruling your mind and your thoughts. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit ruling your emotions and your desires. The answer is inside of us. We must change inside first, so that then the light and the life of Christ can begin to change our relationships, can begin to change circumstances outside. But the answer is inside. Let's take a moment now to allow God to search our hearts, to allow the Holy Spirit to show us right now, where have we been trying to get this water from? The Samaritan woman tried to get the water from men, from relationship with men. She found herself lonely and empty and disappointed. Show us, God, where have we been trying to get this water from? Trusting things on the outside. Trying to get the water from people, from marriage, from relationships. And marriage is a wonderful thing. Family is a wonderful thing. And we thank you for marriages and family. But we know now that marriage cannot give us the water that will satisfy the thirst of the soul. That family, career, children are wonderful. They are a blessing, and it's wonderful to have them when you bring them. But truly, God, that water cannot quench the thirst from our soul. Right now, oh God, I pray that we will receive this truth, this revelation in our lives that you are teaching us through the story of the Samaritan woman. And that we will open our hearts to drink that living water, Jesus, that only you can give us. Because when we drink that water and we allow that water to satisfy the thirst of our soul, then and only then, we can be a blessing to our spouses. We can be a blessing to our friends. We can be a blessing to the people that we have in our lives. But contentment must first happen in the inside of us. In the inside of us. The kingdom of heaven must rule, must be enthroned in the inside of us, oh God. So then and only then, that light of the kingdom, that life of the kingdom, can help us build a strong marriages, can help us to succeed in whatever area, whatever thing you have called us to do in life. Lord, we open our hearts to you tonight. And we say to you just the same thing that the Samaritan woman said. Give us of your living water, Jesus. Let us drink of that living water, oh God. Let us be a people that is connected to the fountain of that water. And the fountain of the water are you, Jesus. Give us that living water. The living water that only you can give, oh God. Because only that water and that water alone can truly quench the thirst of our soul. Can truly give us peace and contentment and joy. Jesus, let us receive this truth tonight. Let us say no more. No more am I going to try to satisfy my thirst to relationships, to people, to career, through my looks. Let us come to a place that we answer the conviction of the Holy Spirit and we finally accept that at the end of the day, none of those things can give us true satisfaction, can give us peace, joy, and contentment. But only you. Only you, Jesus. Let us drink of your living water. Let us drink of that living water tonight. Come and quench the thirst of our soul. come and feel the loneliness that we feel inside of us. And it's a loneliness that nobody can feel. But only you, God. As deep calls unto deep, oh God. Let us drink of that living water now. Let us drink of your living water. In Jesus' name.